Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to be broadcasting from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we want to thank everyone there for all of their contribution. Want to thank Connor O'Donnell, our guy that keeps us on the live stream. Want to thank everyone for calling, for texting, for emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this NFL draft eve.
How about it? Tomorrow is draft day, David. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Thanks to our executive producer, Mr. Dustin William Rhodes.
I hope you guys understand we can't get into the details. I'm sorry in advance for any questions I can't answer, but I promise I'll do my best.
Is that what he said?
Our thanks to Ray. Oh, Ray, you are a marvelous human.
You know when there's kind of a consensus pick and you can feel it.
Is that what he said?
and Sean Sears. Sean, thanks for getting up with us.
Yeah, Sean.
Collaboration.
Is that what he said?
Good God, what did he say? Let's get to Dan Burstein and Layla Rahimi. They're our colleagues. We missed them yesterday. The day was incomplete. Why would we bother getting on a Zoom call when we could have talked to you guys? What a waste of our day.
You stole my lead. That is exactly that you would rather, you'd rather take the time to listen to Ryan Pace say nothing again and even make fun of the fact that he knows he's saying nothing again. You knew what that was going to be. You knew what it was not going to be. And, you know, and you walked out of a perfectly sparkling, invigorating conversation with us to listen to that. That shows where your priorities are, mister.
It's duty. Out of duty.
Oh, but my God,
he called and it was duty.
It's infuriating. It's just infuriating. It
no.
makes me, I mean, oh, no, no I mean, on. Just listening to him, I just think the whole, all this consensus and the blathering about collaborate, run the team. I mean, he just doesn't ever act like he wants to be in charge of the Bears. There's never any responsibility. There's never, this is my, like, we played Dave Gettleman last week, who at least sounds like he's in charge of a football team, rather than just sort of shepherding an organization around. Like, run the team.
Well, we started this morning. We talked about Alexander the Great, famous quote from him, which is, "I'm not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep, but I am afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion." So I think you need a lion. You need some leader that is going to organize the. There you go. There you go.
Was he not the lion, though, whenever he drafted Trubisky? Because
well,
he showed
it.
Everybody that he had the power. And that's where I go back to with this, is I feel like it's just a controlling of a narrative that was created after that process was revealed.
This is post-traumatic draft disorder, because he's reacting to 2017 when he did not have a consensus and he acted independently and he didn't tell anybody. Shh, don't tell John. Don't tell John. I'm drafting Mitch. I'm drafting the guy with the Camry. See, that was what I think informed him moving forward. That was a huge
but
swing and miss.
That's okay. I know, but okay.
But Dan,
just own it. You're in charge. This is how this works. You're the top football guy in the organization. If you want to act on you, if you want to go rogue, if you want to get everybody's thoughts out and say, you know what, screw it. It's my pick. I'm Ryan Pace. I'm taking Trubisky. I'm trading up for him. That's fine. But when it doesn't work, at least acknowledge that it didn't. And at least that doesn't mean now you're saying, well, now I shouldn't do that anymore. It's just they learned all the wrong lessons from it. That's not necessarily the wrong way to do business. It's just that the overreaction to it now, it's like, okay, well, now I'm going to self-neuter, and now I'm going to make myself less powerful and diffuse all responsibility because I got that wrong. Then fire his dumbass.
I prefer to think of it as more of a declawing, and now he's more of a house cat than an alley cat. That's all it is.
And that's what you want fighting in a football game. That's what you want competing.
Meow.
Hold on. I'm trying to keep up with Mully's analogies here. So instead of a lion, he's a house cat. So instead of Chris Spielman, he's more Matt Millen.
I always get confused with the lion and lamb metaphors. What was the one? Didn't a drunken Duncan Keith quote Mussolini at Grant Park? Right. It's like, rather live a day as a lion than a life as a lamb or something like that. And people were looking for it. It's like, yeah, he's quoting Mussolini.
Yeah, nice, I think it was Molly. In 2013. It was a Braveheart speech he was trying to give, right?
That was
the idea.
He might have thought it was Braveheart, but it was actually
It was Braveheart. It might have ended up being Mussolini, figure. But that's what happens after a night of drinking.
That's how these things go. Yeah, it's hockey, baby.
Did you ever see
was
the
it
Office?
Over when the Germans bomb Pearl Harbor?
Right. Did you ever see The Office when Dwight Schrute gives like a Hitler speech at a sales convention? It's hysterical. Yeah. And all the crowd is applauding.
That's awesome. That's an awesome
Isn't that
one.
Episode just called The Speech? I think it is.
Oh, my God. I love that show.
Oh, boy. Too yeah, funny. But you're right, Dan. I mean, the problem, again, is not so much in... Well, no, the problem is in the message, but it's in the delivery of it. It's an inability to handle. The reality is bad enough, but when you mismanage perception, it's a double whammy.
It is, and it comes back to the fact that we knew it, and we said it at the time. This is Ryan Pace's defining move. This is it. He has yoked himself to Mitchell Trubisky. And the fact that he's still here, despite the fact that it was a failure, is just incongruous to a lot of us who believe in certain immutable truths in sport. That when you make a mistake that bad, usually someone else comes in and gets a bite at the apple. And it hasn't been in this case. And we're all sort of retroactively trying to figure out, okay, well, he's in charge, but he says he really isn't in charge because it's the building, it's everyone, it's everything. And it's just the way that that has been spun after the fact, like you say, that we're still reverberating from the kind of trauma that usually results in other people being in charge of something.
Yep. I like the whole idea of the draft disorder, like the combat veteran. I hear like that ding ding ding, and I just immediately go into the fetal position.
I
fans' reactions, yeah.
I think we've talked about the idea of how at 20 you can't hurt yourself that much, and David, credit to you for bringing that up first. But I do think that they have a chance to redeem themselves by drafting reasonably. I know that nobody wants to hear that right now, but I still think that if they get a decent offensive lineman out of this deal, I'm happy with the first round for once.
Keep saying it. Keep repeating it. Keep reinforcing it. You're exactly right. This has got to be, as much as we want Ryan Pace to come out of there and stop talking about consensus building and all sort of corporate speak, this is not the draft that you want him to try to prove a point. This is not the draft where you want him to listen to any of the noise and have this sort of draft night swagger where I'm going to be the guy that tells you what I'm convicted at doing. No, take the gimme. At 20, you can still get a week one starter. Take the offensive lineman or cornerback and move on.
Just draft a tackle. It'd be great.
Yeah. What does Brad Biggs know? Because he's pretty adamant about that, and he's pretty strong on the possibility of them trading way up.
Brad Biggs knows enough that, number one, he is consistent in the way that he has structured this thought process. So he has said for a long time that they're desperate enough to move up. What he knows is that people keep telling him that they don't know what they're going to do at number four with the Falcons, and the Bears continue to come up. So I think what he did in having his mock draft, Mully, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you write that or when you project that, you are protecting yourself a little bit, but you're also reflecting some of the gossip or conversations that you've heard throughout the league that they could be, they're capable of doing this because they've heard this proposed enough to think it's possible, even though I don't think they have enough ammunition.
Yeah, I hope they don't have enough ammunition, because it would take basically, you know, you could give up every pick of this year and it wouldn't be enough. You'd have to go into next year and the year after to make a move to four. It's too much. And, I'm not thinking of Ryan Pace as like Sonny Weaver Jr., who's going to move up and move down and then wind up with Chadwick Boseman. I don't think there's a happy ending here if you do that sort of thing.
Yeah, you hope not, right? That's what you you don't want to happen. You don't want Ryan Pace walking around with the yellow piece of paper and say Vontae Mack no matter what.
Right, exactly. No. I like the boring. I like that idea of having a boring draft. You've been saying that, David, for about a week, and it makes sense to me. I don't want to be up or down. I just want kind of normal. And I think that part of the problem, I don't understand how this happened, but Ryan Pace seems to be that kind of guy that writes down the one name and has to get that one name. And it hasn't worked. When you've traded up to get one guy because this was it and this is the guy, you've been wrong far too often. So give it up. Stop that.
Yeah.
That also is the antithesis of having a plan other than one person. B, backup plan. C, standard operating procedure. And D, I don't know, normal draft board. Like, none of that makes any sense. Like, if you were to say that in a job interview, do you think you would still be a GM somewhere?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, I'm just going to put all my eggs into one basket, because that's always worked.
Well, that also flies in the face of everything they say about their process. I mean, it was completely insane yesterday when he said the equivalent of, and I'm not really exaggerating here as I paraphrase, we talk about everything with everybody every day. He said that. Whether it was George and Ted and the staff and the scouts, he said, right. we talk about
too.
Everything with everybody right. every day. First of all, if you do, that's weird. That's not a normal organization. You don't right. come to work every day and talk about everything with everybody. What kind of that's just not a normal operation of any business. Why say what that?
You're exactly
because
right.
of what happened 3 years ago.
What you want to do though is you got to begin by owning that. So I think what we wanted to hear and what we have wanted to hear from Pace is saying, okay, you know what? We can't get past the fact that we made a really bad mistake when we drafted, or you don't have to use the word mistake, okay? Whatever, however they want to couch that. You know, we're coming in this year where our options are open. We have some needs we need to address. We feel better equipped this year to evaluate the quarterback position because our head coach was brought here and he's an expert, right? Supposed expert. So you want to hear some just genuine honesty rather than the thing that it looks like he's been given a script that out of some sort of corporate executive manual that is not really, you know, doesn't really resonate with anybody.
They won't admit they got it wrong. They won't admit.
Ted Phillips did.
Have we gotten the quarterback exactly right?
No.
No.
Not really.
Did we win enough games?
No.
But everything else is.
Except, yes, they did win enough games.
Did we hire the right general manager? No. Have we let him hire another coach? Yes. Come on.
I love that, though. I would pay top dollar to have a guy just go up there and ask himself questions and answer.
Have we got the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there?
Everything else. Everything
Not
else.
Not only that. Like, the rest of the league is envious of what they're doing. That's the other part of it, that is because they managed to lose six games in a row, wait for it, and then make the playoffs in the expanded playoffs. No one else could do that because most playoff teams are too good to lose six in a row. How do you turn that into something positive?
Have we got the quarterback situation completely right? No.
Is that what he said?
Oh, my God, no.
Wow. No, that would be a conversation.
Oh,
that
boy.
Would be a conversation. Man. Well, gives us plenty to talk about, that's for sure.
Well, you know, can I just point out one other thing? He says completely right. Not remotely right would be
right.
More. Have we gotten the quarterback situation even remotely correct? Absolutely not. What do you mean? What do you mean completely? It's been absolutely failed.
Have we experienced a generation of bad decisions at the quarterback position? Absolutely.
There you go. Absolutely.
Either you have the guy or you don't have the guy. They right. make it sound like they got it mostly right.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, other completely
than that
right.
talent thing. Other
right.
Than other, that.
Other than the quarterback, right? Yeah. Other than the quarterback being good, we've gotten it. You know, we have a quarterback. We have guys. It's like they were, you know, the old term about having depth at a position. Having guys doesn't mean you have depth. Having someone you call a quarterback doesn't mean you have a good quarterback. But they're very comfortable. They love their professional lives and their jobs and having people around who make them feel okay. They congratulate each other on not exactly knowing who does what and when. And here we are.
Here we are. And they totally have botched this offseason because, I really believe this. The Bears could have come out of last year, and had they been more savvy from a PR perspective and been able to manage the message a little bit better, having people actually believe they were closer than they might have been, and because they wouldn't have to invoke the quarterback position, they could acknowledge the missteps along the way, and it really convinced people that if you fix the offensive line on this football team and you look at the roster defensively, that they could be competitive next year. Whereas now there's so much cynicism surrounding everything they say and do, nobody has any confidence that they're capable of having a winning season, when in fact you could have taken an entirely different approach to it.
And David, you made the key point, which is the did you see the Field Yates report that the Bears have the least amount of salary cap space available to them than any team in the league, $400,000. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that after June 1st, the Russell Wilson trade is back on. Oh well, you know, sorry, we'd have to cut half our team. How are they going to clear up space to make sure they're covered in case anything goes wrong? If you're down to your last $400,000 in cap space,
they better not have a leak in the roof. They better not have a furnace go out. You know?
Yes.
Come on.
Well, that's the essential. That's basically
they better not
happened.
Cut a quarterback who's good.
Well, yeah.
Someone's got to go. You know where they ought to trade him on draft day, Nick Foles. They could right after the Garoppolo move, they'll move Nick Foles.
It might be in play. You never know. You never know.
Do you think anybody would take that cap hit for a backup?
What else are you given?
Yeah.
I mean, not without a little bit of
Layla,
cheese in the game.
The other end of the spectrum from the Bears being at the bottom, there are a lot of teams with a lot of flexibility cap wise that you could have, you know, depending on what you want to unload. Molly's right. I mean, everything's negotiable. Maybe.
For other teams, yeah.
It still comes down to me to how comfortable is Ryan Pace. We don't even know if he's under contract or not, because that's apparently
right.
a state secret. The Bears won't tell us.
Right.
And this issue of empowerment, and if he feels he can take a big risk, and if he's trying to, whether or not he's trying to save his job right now by winning 8 games and spinning it the way, however he's going to spin it, or if he's going to say, screw it, I'm going out making my decision and not having to build a consensus and not having to rely on collaboration. And if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with the courage of my convictions. And here's what I'm going to do to try to win a Super Bowl right now. You know, we don't know. We don't know. But, is he just trying to stay employed, or is he trying to win a Super Bowl?
Maybe he's doing what you said, Dan, but he knows the only way he will be allowed to make that big move and the big pick is by creating a consensus from his bosses. So instead of having them reject that idea, maybe this is the way he's selling it. I don't know. I don't know how clever and
I think he could make it. I think he's probably wired that way, but this isn't the year to do it. This isn't the year to get that sort of to make that move because of what you don't have from a capital standpoint. And put, you know, how it just, it isn't smart business to go in and mortgage the future on this group of quarterbacks. If now the Russell Wilson conversation would be a different tenor and tone, but the, none of these guys are Russell Wilson yet. And there's no evidence really that they're going to be beyond the first two quarterbacks that are taken.
Can't wait until Roquan Smith gets traded for Trey Lance.
I wonder.
I'm so feeling that.
Oh no, no!
But didn't they mortgage the future? Didn't they already do that? Like, that's the thing. Like we keep shifting the proverbial goalposts
with
the Khalil Mack trade. I mean, when you doubled down and he said, "Guys, I'm all in." He came on these airwaves and said, "All in." Well, when you're all in and you lose, you're busted out. They said it. Like, we got to hold them. The Trubisky pick, that gamble. Then you get Khalil Mack. It's to let's go. Let's win now. And it failed. And now they're still picking up pieces.
It failed in 19 and 20 because that's when you didn't have your first-round pick. But now you got a first-round pick back. So I don't know that you are as bare in going into this draft as you were the last couple of years. Your window was a 3-year window, and it closed without you winning. And now you got
Andy Dalton.
Well, I mean,
we don't know enough about what their plan is. And Andy Dalton, I'm not saying he's great, but we don't know how he fits in whatever offense they're running. If they have some change in mind, we don't know if there are more weapons coming. I mean, you could conceivably get like a really good tackle at number 20 and come back and get a really good wide receiver, a contributor in the second round. And all of a sudden your offense is significantly better.
All of a sudden it's about messaging and Andy Dalton, Dan, I understand where that's coming from, but because they've done a lousy job of articulating why Andy Dalton could actually make their offense better and more efficient if you have the right tackle and if you have a wide receiver and you add all these pieces to the – Andy Dalton is not going to get you beat. He may not win you games, but he's not going to get you beat like the quarterbacks that have, you know, most recently taken snaps for the Bears.
Go Bears! I mean, like, we don't know what offense they're running. They had to completely undo their offense last year,
and then it worked
because they undid it.
The schedule turned.
I mean, yeah, they played a bunch of bad teams. Yeah,
the run game I think transcends that. I think the established run game is the established run game.
We don't even know how good the interior of the offensive line is. It looked a lot better, and the run game worked a lot better. But everything that happened, it coincided with the schedule changing, and the schedule is going to be tougher. I mean, Vegas has them at 7 wins. There's 17 games. That's 10 losses. I mean, that's rough. If that's the case, if you're in double digit losses, I think you got a hard time hanging on to your job.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Vegas had them at 8-8 last year too.
How did that work out?
Accurately.
Perfectly. Yeah, not completely with the quarterback, but perfectly with Vegas. What have ye today?
We have to talk about a burgeoning White Sox crisis that's going to show no signs of abating and is probably not going to get any better. And we got to just call it what it is and be honest about what we're seeing here. And then it's going to be Mike Florio at 10. Who's your guy at 10:20? The Midday Midway at 10:40. Eric Edholm, Yahoo's NFL draft analyst, just put out his final mock draft. We're going to get his thoughts. And we have to talk about the Cubs and this spate of injuries and, again, this ongoing lack of production. And then at 11:45, we're going to play a game called Can You Watch It, which Layla invented during our pre-show meeting. So we're going to have some fun with that a little bit later on and some surprises, too.
Have a good show.
All right, guys.
Thank you very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.